Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you are listening to Into Music from the KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Samantha Fish. Her brand new album, Paper Doll Live, is out now on Rounder Records and captures the veteran singer and guitarist in performance on a single night at the Bijou Theater in Knoxville, Tennessee. Moreover, the record demonstrates the wide emotional and musical range of Fish and her band in concert. She recently spoke with me about why the time was right for a live album, the night on which she and her band recorded it, and facing the realities of life on tour in 2026. That's Samantha Fish on Into Music, coming up now.
What was it that made this the right time for a live album for you?
You know, to be completely honest, I've been wanting to do a live record for a very long time, just because it's something that our fans have been asking for. And it's like, you know, let's just record it and put it out, you know, who cares? But it's all about timing. And there's a lot of things that go into a record release and when is the right time to do something. And I think it just was finally, everybody was in agreement that, hey, let's do this now. And I think a lot of that had to do with the most recent studio album, Paper Doll. A lot of those songs kind of lend themselves really, really well to the stage. And I think that the live show felt really seamless with this group of songs. So I think that was part of it. And just, it's just time, you know, it's been a long time since I've done any kind of a live offering. And this is really like the first official one. So
I was thinking about, yeah, how they say in a man's wardrobe, he should have, like, you know, a jacket and this number of shoes and stuff. And I feel like bands having a live album, it's like one of those things they should have in the wardrobe, you know?
It's a staple. It's classic. I mean, and here's the thing. We're a live act. You know, we tour. And I know that sounds kind of ridiculous to say, but the way that we tour, I mean, we've always toured heavy. And now that the industry has kind of shifted away from album sales and all that, a lot of acts are kind of forced to go on the road. And this is something we've been doing for a very, very long time. You know, my journey's been very grassroots, a lot of shows. And people always come up to me and say, I want that on a record. You know, how can I get that feeling? And so, you know, I think it should be just as big a part of our recorded material as anything. It's capturing that, the live thing, because that's what we really spend all our time doing.
Now, this represents a specific show in Knoxville, but did you record multiple nights, or was this like, okay, this is when we're going to do this?
We did it in the most stressful way imaginable, which is one night only, one shot, better get it right kind of thing. So, and, you know, I think a lot of what I do is like, oh God, you know, even with the last record, we were flying to different studios all over the country and recording it on dates between tour. And there were so many things that could have gone wrong, but it was just that little bit of luck, like where everything most of the way came together. And if there was a challenge, we just overcame it because it's what you do, right? But the live show, the live recording, one night only, one show, you know, we only had the McCreary sisters one day, only had the record label there one day. So I think we repeated one song in the set. So everything else is just as it was.
So how do you kind of prepare for that mentally, like knowing like this is it?
Honestly, the best thing I've ever, I've got like the dissociation tool in my toolbox of trying not to even think about what we're doing. And just, you know, that's really something in the studio I've had to kind of disconnect from the weight and the pressure of what you're doing. Cause you know, if you sit in there and you're like, this is forever. You can't help but mess it up, you know, because you're just going to be overthinking it. And, you know, and I, of course, you know, I didn't execute it perfectly, but like, you know, cause I can recall times throughout the night where I was like slipping into that hyper awareness and losing focus on the crowd. And, you know, and that's just what kept drawing me back in, like, hey, you know, focus on the crowd. They're here for the show tonight. You have to give them what you normally give, which is 100% of your focus and energy. And so that really for me was like the trick to just kind of, you know, forget about that red blinking light in the back of the room and try to forget about the 10 person camera crew they got in here, which is kind of hard to ignore. But that was it, you know, just put on a show.
Now, how did you, do you remember how you felt at the end of it? Because I've, you know, I talk to people so many times where they think, oh man, I blew that. I should go home. And then fans will come up to them and they're like, oh my God, that was amazing, you know? So.
I mean, I was looking at it really microscopically, like, oh, I've really screwed up this part of this song. But, you know, and I'd go up to Gary, like, what can we do? Can we fix? Is there anything I can do to fix? So he was like, you know, and then really it's for me, I have to walk away from a show and like get some space between me and that moment. And you forget about all the little things, a lot of the little things. I mean, there might be a few ones that stick out, and I'll go listening and looking for it when I get the copy. But I had enough time between the show and actually getting to listen to the performance where I was like, okay, it wasn't as rough as I remember. But that's every show. I think, you know, you can walk off stage and really get into the nitty-gritty about, you know, details or things weren't perfect. But sometimes you walk away and you're like, you hear it back and you're like, oh, that mistake was actually cool. It was in the moment. It had an energy. There was something about it that I wouldn't have been able to do that on purpose ever. So, you know, but that's the humanity in it. And I think that's why people like live records is, you know, you can let those kind of flaws exist and it makes the music imperfect, but it's so much better to listen to and it feels better.
Yeah. Now you start the album off with the great MC5 tune, Kick Out the Jams, which I saw you do with Jesse Dayton a couple years ago. When did that song kind of come on your radar?
Well, it was our walk-on music for years, or like a couple years during the Faster tour. You know, that would be the song that would play as we walked on stage in the house, you know, to get the audience pumped. Like we're, you know how what I'm talking about when the stage is dark and the band walks on, there's a song that comes on or some kind of something. That was the song, and I just I listen I, night after night. I'm like listening to it, like, man, this is the song we should be playing. This song kicks so much more ass than what I'm about to play. So we just started like playing it with Jesse. And then after the Deathwish tour concluded, it's like it just kind of stayed in the set because really, you know, we don't play it every night, but when we do play it, it really sets this intention for the rest of the show. And it's also like, you know, I wouldn't call it an obscure cover. People know it, but I think that there's a juxtaposition between, you know, my band, which is rooted in blues, and you know, people always try to make the connection, like, how did you get connected with that? And so there's like a juxtaposition naturally to it. And I don't know. I think it just it sets an intention for the show. It kind of is like, you know, it greets the crowd with like a great energy, and I don't know, it gets us set up for what's next.
I mean, it's also one of those tunes where it's like sometimes if I'm feeling a little low energy or I'm like, man, I don't want to go to work, I just turn it on and it's like, ah, okay, I can do this.
Totally. Exactly. I know, same. And that was it. Like we're walking on stage every night to the song and I'm like, it's getting me pumped up for the show. I'm like, why aren't we just playing this? I don't understand why. We need to just learn it.
Now, with the record, obviously, there's this incredible flow to the set and the way that the record represents that and everything. You've been playing live, as you mentioned, you know, for so many years. When did you kind of figure out, like, this is how you structure a show?
I mean, it's something I still am working to refine. And it really requires, it's hard because, you know, really we write the set list before we walk on stage. But then there's like a little bit of reading the audience and determining what they need. So there's times during the show where it's like, oh, we should not play that song next. We need to jump to this or, you know, mix it up. You gotta like read your audience. And that also requires having a band that's like flexible enough to be able to, you know, take a direction, like, you know, and switch gears. It really, you have to just be flexible up there and try to give them what they need. And I've learned over the years, like, you don't want to hit them with too much of the same for too long. Otherwise, your highs become one note, and then it loses the effectiveness of when you really hit them with something heavy. So like I like to put in some mid-tempo stuff. I like to put in ballads, but you don't want to do that too much because then you lose the energy. So it's kind of like this thing. I even try to switch from key to key, just to keep the energy changing and moving. It's just really about, like, and even the sentiment of the lyrics and the story. It's like you got too many love songs all in a row. It's like you're trying to take them on a journey, right? So there's a lot of things that factor into it, and it's just been like, for me, years of doing this to figure out what's effective, what's going to really connect with people and keep them committed to the entire show. I don't want people getting up halfway through like, all right, I've had enough, I'm good to go. You want them connected throughout. So just years of doing it, I guess.
Well, you mentioned that thing too about reading the crowd. Like, I wonder about this sometimes. Like, do you have, for instance, like songs or songs, I guess, maybe like when you go to Europe, let's say that the European crowd is really anxious to hear, but maybe in the States, some of those songs don't resonate in the same way or something like that.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Well, like we played UK a couple months ago, and one of my songs from the new record, Rusty Razor, has been on Planet Rock. It was on Planet Rock's A-list for several weeks. And so we played that every night, and every night they were like ready for it. And it kind of depends. I try not to think of audiences like over there and over here. I more or less think about seated and standing, because that's really the big difference. If they're seated, it's a different ex it's going to be a different vibe. And so if I hit them with too many rock songs in a row, it's like you gotta sort of make the journey a little more varied, I think. But when they're standing, it's like you kind of hit them with the rock stuff over and over and over again, and it's pretty. My goal when they're standing is to keep them moving. And we do make some ballads there because people need a break. But I don't know. I mean, that to me is the primary difference, is seated and standing, not Europe and America. But there, like Rusty Razor, in the anecdotally, did really well this past spring over in England. So.
Yeah. It's always fascinating because it's like sometimes I'll talk to people and they're like, yeah, this deep cut was like number five in Moldova. So when we go there, we have to play that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, exactly. And there's so many ways, like, to look at your analytics now, like through social media or your streaming. You can kind of see what territories are listening to what, and then shape your set list based off that. Like when we played in Japan, it was like, what are they listening to over here? And then put that in the set, because somebody probably wants to hear it.
You mentioned this earlier, this moment that we're at where live is so much more. Nobody can really rely on record sales anymore. So the importance of the live show is much more. But also, like right now, I know that it's hard for people, for instance, to maybe go to shows with costs of everything going up. And I'm seeing more and more gratitude from performers. When you go to a show, just saying, hey, thank you so much because this now is like, five times what it was before.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it's more for everyone. I mean, for us, it's like, you consider what it takes to actually go on tour, and it's like gas prices, hotels, everything, plane tickets, everything's just going up and up and up. Even the cost of manufacturing merchandise, it's brutal everywhere for everyone. So I'm deeply appreciative of the people that spend their hard-earned money at our shows, because they don't have to, and they don't have to do it again. So, for me, it's like I want to go out there and give them the moment, and let's try to forget what's going on out there and just enjoy what we all came here to connect and enjoy. But yeah, I mean, it's the cost of everything, and it's the ticket prices. I mean, I've got my what's happened with these third parties, ticket buyers. And I mean, it's terrible what's going on. And we've had people show up to shows like who've bought fake tickets, and there's a lot of scamming and everything going on online. So I always try to, implore people, there's like one way to get tickets. You have to go through one channel, and we try our best to take care of people when they've been ripped off. And it's just hard though, and it sucks when you're finding out people are spending, three or four times what the cost of your ticket went on sale for because they had to buy it from somebody else. It's brutal and it's not fair.
You've been listening to a conversation with Samantha Fish. Her brand new album is Paper Doll Live, and it's out now via Rounder Records. It can be ordered via samanthafish.bandcamp.com. You can learn more about her, including her current tour dates, at samanthafish.com. You can learn more about this show and all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. Send us your questions and comments at info@kmuw.org and find all the latest programming notes on that website as well. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time. And as always, we'd like to remind you that our theme music is composed and performed by Torrin Anderson.